This message, based on 1 Peter chapter 4, will consist of two main parts. The author, the disciple of Jesus, Peter, and two, the content of chapter 4 of his first letter. First, let us remind ourselves what the Bible is and what it is not. It is a compilation of many different kinds of literature, history, allegory, poetry, prophecy, wisdom, first-hand gospel accounts, and letters to particular people or groups of people at a particular time. It is not a rule book. Those sections of the Old Testament contain rules for living. And yes, Jesus said these words in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. That's Matthew 5. Some of the most powerful writings we have consist of letters from two apostles, Paul and Peter. Paul's writings were primarily aimed at Gentiles, those outside the chosen people, the Israelites, as understood throughout much of history. Peter, on the other hand, primarily wrote to those within that family, the Jewish people. Indeed, one of the most powerful stories we have about Peter is the vision of animals, clean versus unclean. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Suffice to say, we all come with preconceived notions of what is or is not acceptable. But when Christ, through the Holy Spirit, enters our lives, we are reborn and learn or relearn many truths we grew up taking for granted. Let us begin our journey by looking at the life of Peter. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. What was it that prompted Peter to drop everything, leave his nets, and follow this man he had never met? What did he leave behind? Who did he leave behind? Would we ever consider doing the same? Perhaps this impulsivity is the spark that Jesus saw. He was a simple fisherman, no doubt completely uneducated. Yet Jesus called him. It is a reminder to us all that Jesus sees the heart, and he encourages us to do the same in all our interactions. Some stories stand out in the life of Peter and his time with Jesus. He was clearly one of the leaders and often spoke aloud what many others might have been thinking but we're afraid to verbalize. It was Peter who walked on water when Jesus called him. And yes, he began to falter, but who can blame him? As a fisherman, he'd never walked on water and relied on his boat to keep him safe. Peter was with Jesus at the Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah were present. It was Peter who suggested they pitch tents and prolong the moment. It was Peter who stood up to protect Jesus from the soldiers, cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus rebuked Peter for doing so. It was Peter who vowed 3 times that he loved Jesus. And it was Peter who denied 3 times that he knew Jesus. How did a fisherman without education ever become the foundation of the church? Matthew 16, Jesus said, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Let us turn to the text of 1 Peter 4. The letter clearly lays out the challenge of living new life in Christ. The old life, characterized by licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousing, and lawless idolatry, has passed away. The new life has come. Maintain constant love for one another. Be hospitable. Speak as one speaking the very words of God. Serve with the strength that God supplies. And what is the justification for these admonitions? That God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. The title Daryl chose for this sermon is Ready to Suffer. There's a great deal of irony in that, knowing that he is lying in a hospital bed facing the prospect of open heart surgery. With this in mind, let us hear more from the 4th chapter of 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. Now, to be clear, I am not attempting to place Daryl back in time long before there was any notion of performing surgery on a person's heart. Medicine in the time of Peter might have consisted of bloodletting, but beyond that, if a person's heart began to fail, death would have been imminent. But if we believe Scripture to be inspired by God, we must glean what we can that has eternal significance. From my understanding of the passage before us today, the person who has chosen Christ as their personal Savior, who has been born again into new life in Christ, will inevitably face many trials and tribulations, just as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did in his too short life. And here's the key, verse 14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even a mischief maker. It appears that all who follow Christ will suffer from the words and actions of others. That is a given. For many of us who live in a country free from oppression, it is a bit hard to relate to this statement. To those who live where even associating with other Christians is punishable, these words must ring more true. Peter is crystal clear that any suffering we face must only be for living for Christ and not for living in a manner that goes against what he taught and preached. As this message draws to a conclusion, let us consider the balancing act of following Christ. Yes, our old life has passed away, but temptations regularly come our way. Only by daily giving up control of our lives do we have a hope of combating the earthly desires in our hearts. As Jesus commanded, then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Peter indicates that the end is near in his letter. No doubt he and many others felt that life as they knew it could end at any time. Here we are, 2,000 years later, and life still goes on. But with Australia on fire, ice caps melting, ocean levels rising, a worldwide epidemic declared, one has to wonder if we truly are in the end times. If that is the case, hear the words of Peter. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins."